Bhagavad Akramichimala, Study Guide, Part 1. Praman and Sambandha, Chapters 1 through 10. So there's 20 chapters. So basically, as you're taking Sambandha, Abhide, and Prayojana, you know, in the Dasamul, and you're taking that and expanding on that, because the Bhagavatam then has much more detail of explanation than you'll find in the Gita and like this.
Yes.
So the praman. So you have praman is the first of the dasamul, right? So you have praman and prameya.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So praman is the scriptures, the basis of it, the authority, and prameya is what's then established by the scriptures,
yes.
Like that. So which is the sambandha, abhide, and prayojana. So technically, praman is also in sambandha, but it's the basis of the three.
Yes.
Then in Sambandha, then you're going to have about Krishna being the absolute truth, him being the Lord of all energies, and him being the Lord of Rasa. Right? So three on him, that includes his energies. Then you're going to have three on the Jiva, right? The nature of the Jiva as Tatasya Shakti, nature of the Baddha Jiva, you know, the conditioned soul, and the of the Mukta Jiva, the liberated soul. Right? So now you had three on Krishna, three on the soul. Then as the seventh, you're going to have Achintabheda-Veda Tattva. So Achintabheda-Veda Tattva, that's your philosophy.
Yes.
All the other points are there, but how those are held together is Achintabheda-Veda Tattva.
Yes.
Right? Because most of those other points that are there, no other sampradaya is going to disagree with that. But how they'll hold that together, and therefore what their goal and everything, that's going to be different. That's your... So that's the essential point of that Achintabheda-Veda Tattva. That's why you see it always coming up through the, when we're discussing with the Vedanta Sutra and other aspects,
yes.
You know, or in the 11th canto, it's just constantly coming up. How Krishna, everything's in Krishna, Krishna is everything, everything's in
yes.
Him.
Yes.
Right? Same time He's separate. So
yes.
That's the inconceivable thing.
Yes.
Right? So that's there. So those sections remain the same. They're not expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but Praman is expanded. I think instead of having one, it has four sections. Then Abhideya, instead of having one, because it only has one in Dasamul, then it has more sections. And the Prayojana, then instead of having one, it has many. Does that make sense? But those first seven in the Sambandha, they don't have more sections in here. So you'll see is where you'll see the finer breakdowns is going to be in Praman, Abhideya, and Prayojana.
Yes.
Does that make sense? That way you get 20. But otherwise, it's the same dasamal.
What?
Hmm.
Like in the Navaprameyas of Madhvacharya, there the Shabda is quoted as the last. But in the dasamal, we have in the beginning.
So yes, because you're based on that. So he's pointing the points, and then that must come from scripture. Works either way. Because he's specifically talking to those who have no interest, and then he's convincing them of the Vaishnava philosophy. Dasamul, it can be used the same way, but it's specifically for the devotees, so that they can organize their understanding of the Lord. Does that make sense? Also, you'll find is that point of the Lord being rasa, that's not covered in the Navaprameyas. Because if you're dealing with it, Mayavadis and that, you know, that's the last thing you want to talk about. Does that make sense? So you're just trying to establish the position of the Lord, the Jiva, you know, devotional service like this.
And also the 16 aspects of Nyaya, in that also many of these points are covered. And the Shabda is also mentioned in the beginning, the first aspect.
Yes.
And the rest is within the 15. Some of these are covered, some are not covered. Anywhere.
In the 15th section.
In the Nyaya.
No, I'm saying, but what you're saying, what's covered where? I don't. I mean, it's just the Shabda part of that
there
is covered.
There are 16 aspects which the Nyaya philosophy also teach.
Right.
The first one is also the Praman.
It is Shabda.
Shabda.
And then everything else is what's supposed to be coming from that. Right. But he shows also those things that if you're not using it in that way, then you can come up with all these funny methods for argument. Right? In other words, you have the proper methods, so you have all the angas that are there, and you have the panchanga nyaya. Right? So that's proper. But when you just use things like jalpa, just going on speaking, or chala, where you take take the person's words out of context, like that, or that. Yeah, so all these different ones, you're just changing or doing something just to win an argument. Those are improper, but you have to know what they are because people can use them in logic. So you have to know how to avoid that.
Basically, either only the Vaishnava schools have a real goal, and because of that, like, no, it differs from the other schools because they don't have a real goal. Their goal is to...
Yeah, there'll be some things, enjoy here, or we're tired of enjoying here because you can't enjoy here, so get out of here, like that. So yeah, it's always something spurious. So table of context, section one, praman. So you have section one, you have praman, you'll have sambandha, you have abhideya and prayoga, right? So you have four sections, like that. So in praman, then you have three indications of evidence, praman and nirdesha. The rising sun of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Arka, Udaya, and the exposition of Bhagavat, Bhagavat Vivriti. Then in section 2, Sambandha 4, the factual truth of Krishna, Bhagavat Surupa Tattvam, the essential nature of the energies of the Lord, Bhagavat Shakti Tattvam, the principles of the Lord's mellows, Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, the essential nature of the individual soul, Jiva Tattva, the characteristics of the conditioned soul, Bhada Jiva Lakshanam, characteristics of the fortunate soul, Bhagya Jiva Lakshanam, and 10 characteristics of the inconceivable oneness and difference, Achintya Veda Veda Tattva Lakshanam. Right? So you see, those we've gone through, and the Praman as just one group, but here it's now been broken down into three. Okay? So then what's happened is, Introduction. Vriti. Bhagavad Akramichimala is a thematic study of Srimad Bhagavatam according to the categories of Vastutraya, the five main topics of the Upanishads, and the 10 esoteric truths of the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Dasamula Tattva. Right? The five main topics of the Upanishads are as follows. 1. The nature of Brahman, Ishwar, the nature of the soul and its relation to Brahman, Chit. The material energy, its origin and connection to Brahman, Achit. The means of attaining Brahman, Sadhana. The nature of supreme goal and status of the jiva and mukti, sadhya. Right, so you can see it's the same aspects as you have the sambandha in the first three, abhideya in the fourth, and prayojana as the fifth. The first three topics delineate sambandha. The fourth defines abhideya, and the fifth describes prayojana. Since Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra, it's not surprising that it contains the same subjects, right? Plus, you see, is the nature of Brahman, so in that it would be he's Ishwara. But you notice in here, it doesn't so much bring out Rasa, though Upanishads mention it, but it'll just be in this section. It doesn't have the subdivisions. Nature of the soul is the relationship to Brahman, so then the Jiva Tattva, what's there. But so in Dasamula, then it'll give also the Bhada Jiva and the Mukhi Jiva, right? And then the material energy, its origin and connection to Brahman, so that will be what was said before as the Lord being the essential nature of the energies of the Lord, Bhagavat Shakti Tattvam. So it's the same thing, just Dasamul has been expanded out, so you see the sections very nicely.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, can we make a comparison with the five pieces of wood?
Not in this, I don't think so. I think that the five topics of Gita. Because it mentions that, I think four of those are temporary and one of them is permanent.
Yes.
Yeah, so then, not that they wouldn't be covered,
yes.
But it's just, yeah. Regarding the first topic, the nature of Brahman, the central issue is whether Brahman is without characteristics. This is the impersonal concept called Nirvishesh, or he has characteristics. That is the Savishesh doctrine maintained by the Vaishnavas. Below is the specific answer to this as given in Dasamul Tattva. 1. The Vedas are the principal scriptural evidence, which in turn expound the 9 principles. 2. Krishna, the supreme absolute truth. 3. Krishna is omnipotent. 4. He is the fountainhead of all relationships and love. So omnipotent is the, what do you call it? The essential nature of the energies of the Lord, right? So he's omnipotent, and so now it's talking about the energies, but it's talking about they're his energies, right? Regarding the second topic, the nature of the jiva. The question is whether it is different from Brahman or identical in all respects with him. Dashamul Tattva answers as follows. 5. The living entities are Krishna's separated parts and parcels. 6. The living entity, due to his constitutional situation as the marginal energy, may come under the sway of the marginal material energy. 7. Again, due to his marginal nature, the living entity in the liberated condition is free from the influence of material nature. Right? So that then is dealing with the soul. Right? So the other one is the nature of Brahman. So now we've pointed out what it is, because he is personal. Otherwise, how is it he's the absolute truth, is omnipotent, and is the fountainhead of all relationships and love?
Yes.
Right? So that means he has to be personal. Then you get the nature of the soul. Right? We give. Concerning the third point, the material nature, energy, the key issue is whether it's created by Brahman and if it is real or illusory. And Dasamul Tattva has stated, 8, the living entity and everything in this material cosmos is simultaneously one and different from the Supreme Lord Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So then that's been established there. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then you've given all the three on the Lord, you've given this, and then here it's showing its connection. Means details of that will be in the nature of Brahman, as we said before, but here in this connection is being brought out is that its connection to Brahman, its origin. And so it's from the Lord, it's non-different from the Lord.
Yes.
Right? That's the fourth major question is what is the means of attaining Brahman, sadhana? The answer is follows. 9. Pure devotional service is the living entity's occupation and means. So it's what they do, and it's the method and how they will get the goal. Regarding the fifth point, the nature of the supreme goal, the major issue is whether the jiva merges in Brahman, the opinion of the impersonalist, or retains its individuality in the state of liberation, as told by the Vaishnavas, according to Dasamul Tattva. 10. Pure love of Krishna is the living entity's ultimate goal. And so that's the actual. Does that make sense? So if one's clear on this, then that's how you can deal with all the philosophies.
Yes.
Right? So all the philosophies, they are simply, will have, their doubts will be in these areas. Yes. That's why we always categorize according to these 5. Mm-hmm. Right? And then these 10 fit into those 5.
Yes.
Right? So then it's that they have all these doubts. You know, what about God's position, the living entity's position, the material energy's position? And so, and then what's the sadhana? And then what's the goal of that sadhana? So everything else is just sub-details of that. You know, it's just like, okay, you know, does the living entity come from the Lord as one of the energies of the Lord? Or does it come from material energy? Right? So if it comes from the Lord, then there's one answer. And if it comes from the material energy, then they have so many different ways that you come from the material energy. Or which aspect of the material energy, or how much of the material energy on which day of the week. You know, like that. Was it in the morning or the afternoon? You know, like that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. That's the problem. Does that make sense? So that's when we're going through Vedanta Sutra, because it's the essence of the Upanishad. Mm-hmm. It's just breaking it down to try to make it clear that it's none of these options. It's just, you know, the living entity is coming from the Lord. So,
even when we're studying the Upanishad, he's supposed to know these 5 topics.
Yes, because if you're studying the Upanishads without this, then you won't really understand what the Upanishads are talking about.
Yes.
So there's a good chance when one did you know, these Vedic studies and that in university, they didn't use these 5 topics. So there's a good chance they actually don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. So what to do?
Without Parampara, we can improve these 5.
No. That's the whole thing, because Krishna reveals. That's why we see a Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur.
Yes.
Says, the most intellectual of the intellectuals, yes, may they not understand this work. Because they can't. Without the Lord's mercy, they won't understand. Now, if they take it up sincerely and hear from devotees, then they'll give up that position. Brahma wanted liberation, but after hearing Bhagavatam, he only wanted prema. So that's it. The chapters of the Bhagavad Akramichimala follow the same order as Dasa Mool Tattva. Chapters 1 to 3 establish the Praman, evidence. The evidence for all conclusions are the Vedas. Okay.
Batman?
Sorry? Oh, yeah. Okay. Will he turn on the generator? That's cool if you can get him to turn on the generator. Oh, I'm turning on the light. Oh, what's this message? Yeah. Chapters 1 to 3 establish the Praman, evidence. Right. Evidence, so it worked. That man did it. Okay. Only those who are listening, what are they talking about? Yeah. The lights went off, so we're talking about that. Okay. The evidence for our conclusion of the Vedas, amongst them Srimad Bhagavatam holds the supreme position. Right, so the Veda is the essence in that. Chapters 4 to 10 describe the field, Sambandha. Chapters 11 to 16 describe the method, Abhideya. And chapters 17 through 20 describe the ultimate necessity, Prayojana. So it's the same order. Right, because if Srimad Bhagavatam is our book and it's the natural commentary, it must have the same topics.
Yes.
It's just that it's been delineated to bring out the personal aspect in 10. Because in the 5, you can establish the absolute truth and the proper conclusion, but you also might still, tend towards gyan.
Yes.
What we see is by bringing it into 10, then you tend towards bhakti.
Yes.
And then Bhagavatam fills it out even more to make more of a understanding. So, yeah. So we're good? Okay. Part 1, Praman, chapters 1 to 3. In part 1, the author establishes that the Vedas are the only evidence on all material and spiritual matters. Srimad Bhagavatam, as the ripened fruit of the tree of the Vedic literature, holds the highest position of authority among all Vedas. Because it directly presents the highest reality, Lord Sri Krishna. Chapter 1, Indications of Evidence, Pramana Nirdesha. Riti Chapter 1 establishes the Vedas as the Praman. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandraya Namaha. Yat Kripaya Pravrito Ham Etasmin Granta Sangrahe Tad Gaura Parshad Vande Damodara Surupakam. I offer my homage to Surup Damodara Goswami, the personal associate of Lord Gauranga. By his mercy, I have been engaged in compiling this book. The Mangalacharan verse at the beginning of each chapter is composed by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Invocation. Okay, so these are. Invocation means. Now it's just going through. Oh. And these sections are just. He puts those in, these sections?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, cool.
He just highlighted whatever the verse says, the flow is changing, just highlighted them.
Okay, but the order of the verses is the same.
Like this.
Huh?
The order of the verses is like this.
Like this, okay. Invocation, Srimad Bhagavatam 1:1:1. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representation of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Right, because vivarta is meaning that you're seeing something else. Well, you're seeing one thing, but seeing something that you're thinking it's something that it isn't.
Yes.
Right? Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. So it's his. He makes the illusory aspect of the material world appear real.
Yes.
Means it exists, but what we think it is, that is his potency makes us think like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not us. We think it's us.
Yes.
You know, oh, I was inspired today. Oh, I thought this. That's yes. The modes of nature. That's
great.
I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. Right? So he being the one who's creating that, since you're dealing with him anyway, and the perspectives that he's giving, why not, and you have to put, and you're putting in that effort, right? You want benefit, you think, by the material energy, I can work, I can get material benefit. And that whole, the work itself, the benefit you get, and the illusion that you can get benefit are all coming from Krishna. So you're not working with something else. So why not put in the same energy and do those things with Krishna's energy in connection with him, as Yukta Vairagya, for the purpose of pleasing him rather than ourselves. And then you'll gain prema. So it's a matter of working under Mahamaya or working under Yogamaya.
Yes.
Effort's going to be the same.
Yes.
Right? So that's the choice that's being made.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right? Make sense? Yeah. So, yeah. That's the idea. So now as the thematic study, because we've unheard all these things, now you can catch these. Sri Krishna to Uddhava, 11:14, 3-13. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, by the influence of time, the transcendental sound of Vedic knowledge was lost at the time of annihilation. Therefore, when the subsequent creation took place, I spoke the Vedic knowledge to Brahma, because I myself am the religious principles enunciated in the Vedas. Right? So, why is the Veda the authority? Because it comes from Krishna.
Yes.
He explains it.
But, sorry. Now these verses from 3-13, they are basically providing the evidence. That's what is the...
No, it's whole section.
Whole section.
Whole chapter 1 is indication of evidence.
Okay.
So everything here until we get to the next part, then it'll have another flavor. But three chapters are going to be about, come on, about evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just bringing out different points. So now is that... the Lord, he's the one that's making everything happen. So why not surrender to him in devotion rather than surrender to him in Maya and stay in Maya? You can surrender in devotion and get beyond Maya to the eternal platform. And then why? What are you going to base that on? On the knowledge of the Vedas. Why? Because he's the religious principles. He speaks the Veda. Lord Brahma, yes.
Just a side comment. Like, in order to arrange the verses, whole verses like this, Acharya, who's doing, he should exactly know, like, know where it falls and the whole structure line.
Yes, that's why we don't do this. You know what I'm saying? Is that when we do things, we use the structures the Acharyas give. We don't try to use our own structures.
Yes. Which structure can we use?
That's the problem. But no, what I'm saying is that, see, when you're studying this Vedic method, you follow the Vedic structures. If you use the contemporary method, you make up your own.
Yes.
I'll let you connect the dots. That's just the way it works. Because they'll see things, oh, this has this word and that word, so they go together, rather than the flavor. Right? Just like, let's say an example. You have the ragas, you know, that means you have the jatis. There's 18 jatis. They all have the notes in them, and they're all music is in them. And so if you know a jati, you know all the flavors and all the moods, and so depending on what mood is you're dealing with, then you'll put them together and do it and all that. But you have to have immense knowledge to do that. To make it more straightforward, you know, more accessible, the Narad Muni took those 18 jatis and then made the ragas and raginis. So you have six ragas and they have their raginis. So in this way you get, I think, 36. Is it 36 or is it 42? I never remember if it's one raga, five raginis, or one raga, six raginis.
For us?
For us, it doesn't matter. Okay. Yes. As Narvudi is making it accessible, then we'll go with that. So, then in that, you have one main raga. So you have the six ragas, and then the raginis are variations of that. Does that make sense? So, they all have, because now what there's a mood, like Bhairav, the morning, so the different aspects of the morning and all that, so then all the raginis will have those different, you know, so Bhairavi and all these different ones. Now, you can see is it's all about moods and flavors and the relationships between them and all that. Does that make sense?
Yes?
Yes. Now, because there's so many different people and they don't really understand this very nicely. No one can really explain it very nicely, you know, because of basically 1,000 years of, you know, being, I say, managed by people other than someone from the culture. Then they know the music, but they don't actually understand the structure of it. So then somebody came along and trying to document things, you know, because they're well-meaning. So they get everything that's, whatever raga is being practiced at the time, he collects all of them from all over India. And now, how does he structure them? Because no one knows fully the different systems. That means there are people who do, but somehow or another he didn't find them. Yeah. Or, because he's a scholar, he's just taken that they're another system.
Yes. Yes.
That's the whole point. Okay, this guy has this guy, and then, you know, okay, the Vaishnavas over here have this system, and that.
Yes.
But it's just a system amongst many.
Yes.
You know, just like we're one school amongst six.
Yes.
Right? And so then he took it, and okay, all these different ragas, they all have the same basic note.
Mm-hmm.
They're using all these notes, you know, they all have either a pure scale or this scale or that scale. And then he took all these ragas and put them into 10 groups, right, called tats. So they're not rags. They won't say, you have a tat, and within that, then you have rags.
Yes.
So the rags then maintain, you know, their notes and their moods and everything like that, but they've lost the personal aspect because they're not related to each other anymore. They're just all these ones are in this group. Does that make sense? So that's the problem when you use the modern approaches. You lose actually so much benefit, because if you understand the personal, you understand the rag better. If it's just, okay, these are all the ones that have you know, how you say the second note as flat, you know, so then but you don't understand what that means and where it is, you know. Okay, it's in the morning, but you don't really understand the relationships, because it's just morning ragas, but it's not that this is the raga and these are raginis, and then these are putras, these are putri, in other words, sons, daughters, all these. You don't get that at all. So you don't know the flavors. So that's the advantage of using the Vedic systems, is you don't lose that. So even though it's hard to figure out, find them and all that, by working by Krishna's grace, then he reveals, and then we have the acharyas, they put the things together. So we don't have to create our own systems.
Yes. Yes.
We simply have to try to understand what has been given by the acharyas.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? And it's not a matter of a scholarship, it's a matter of devotion.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because by scholarship, we can see it'll never be understood. It can't be understood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only by devotion then the Lord reveals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the important thing. So we'll see is how he's put it together. You know, he's taken from different parts. We started with the first canto, and now he's 11th canto. And you'll see, even in ones where it's just single verses, they'll all be from all different cantos, but they're put in a particular order that then shows how it goes. Yeah. Lord Brahma spoke this knowledge to his eldest son, Manu, and the seven great sages, headed by Bhrigu Muni, then accepted the same knowledge from Manu. From the forefathers headed by Bhrigu Muni and other sons of Brahma appeared many children and descendants, who assumed different forms as demigods, demons, human beings, Guyakas, Siddhas, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, Charanas, Kindavas, Kinaras, Nagas, Kimpurushas, and so on. all of the many universal species, along with their respective leaders, appeared with different natures and desires generated from the three modes of material nature. Therefore, because of the different characteristics of the living entities within the universe, there are a great many Vedic rituals, mantras, and rewards, right? So Krishna gave it. He gave it to Brahma. Brahma then, it gave, you know, it goes to Manu. Then it goes to the other sages. And they, then it goes down through all their descendants. And in this way, because everyone has different natures, different desires, then they take different aspects, different rituals, mantras, rewards, all those things are there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you're going to get all that huge variety. So it seems confusing.
Yes.
Right? But the main point is going to be that Bhagavatam gives the actual essence, the original point, what Krishna is giving.
Yes.
Right? And then, better you follow the Veda than not follow the Veda.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because if you follow the Veda, then you'll accept Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't follow the Veda, you don't accept Srimad Bhagavatam. So you have problems both ways.
Yes.
The one is you have problem because you're materialistic, but at least you accept Vedic authority.
Yes.
So that's the... Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand ki.